Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited Q4 and FY 2020 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q4 and FY 2020 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today from the management team, Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard is available in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join our call. The earnings for the fourth quarter and 12 months for the period ending 31/3/2020 were adopted by the board of directors yesterday, June 30th, 2020. The earning documents have been released to the stock exchanges. We began Q4 with the expectation of improving momentum in sales, positive traction for new products by consumers, and segmentation implemented in recent quarters. Demand in Tier 3 centers and beyond was improving due to improving prospects for rural and semi-urban parts of the economy. In Q4, the company achieved an overall profitable quarter with positive cash flow despite the material development in the external environment. March is a crucial month for Cera each year, with the highest sales of any month. The disruption during the most crucial fortnight of the year has materially impacted revenues. The end of the year is a period of heightened activity as dealers rush to complete targets, promotions and schemes are implemented, and there is an enhanced traction of high-value products. The lost revenues have a high margin component as fixed costs have already been incurred, impacting the quarter's profitability. As we sense the concerns around rise of the pandemic, we undertook swift action to ensure unhindered operations. While the plants discontinued operations following imposition of the lockdown on 25th March as per direction of Ministry of Health Affairs, Government of India, our teams rapidly set up facilities for employees to work from home, took steps to ensure data security, and reached out to our trade partners and customers while ensuring tracking of goods in transit. Once we received permissions to resume operations at the plant on 5th May, we executed the enhanced SOPs. Migrant labor was not an issue for Cera, as out of the total labor working in the plant, 60% live in and around the manufacturing facility for many years. In Mehsana district and Kadi town, where the factory is situated, the COVID-19 impact was lesser than urban areas such as Ahmedabad. Over the last 7 years, manufacturing capabilities at own facilities have been significantly upgraded with the introduction of fully automated pressure casting of sanitaryware products, an industry first, robotic antibacterial glazing of sanitaryware, automated grinding, polishing, threading, and electroplating for faucetware. Some of these processes have assumed greater importance in view of COVID-19. As we have discussed with stakeholders at every opportunity, sanitaryware manufacturing is a complex process where training of labor and even standardization of automation takes a long time to develop. Another delicate aspect is the ratio of in-house manufacturing and outsourcing. As neither full outsourcing nor full in-house manufacturing has worked for any player striving to be competitive. At Cera, we have been able to balance the products made in-house and those that need to be outsourced along capabilities. We believe our facilities are best used for complex products such as wall-hung WCs, tabletop basins, and one-plinth floor-standing WCs. In addition, our capacities are focused towards higher-margin products. Our domestic outsourcing strategy is for lower technology products which do not require sophisticated robotics and can be produced competitively by our supply chain partners. We have chosen to always develop in-house manufacturing capabilities and never had a need to rely on Chinese imports. This has set us apart from the rest of the industry, where a high percentage of sales are from Chinese imports, and the industry has dependence for many complex products. The consumer is now in a position to call out those brands and ask for a Made in India certification. We welcome this change in consumer behavior. We are in the process of working on an effective communication strategy on Cera's Make in India and Atmanirbhar Bharat strategy. Next point, low capex model. Capex over the last few years has never exceeded the band of rupees 55 crores to 70 crores, even though annual cash flow was between rupees 125 crores to rupees 145 crores each year. Capex was normally maintained within a band of 40 to 45% of cash flow. We believe an overall conservative approach to financial decisions and emphasis on solidifying our balance sheet has placed us well to withstand volatility in the macroeconomic environment. We continue to hold no long-term debt and continue to be AA rated. In terms of working capital, we have sanctioned limits which are leveraged at various points during the year up to 25% of sanctioned amounts, which is about 11% of our combined inventories and receivables. As a result, we have never had to dip into our liquid reserves of 230 crore rupees, which have increased every quarter till 31st March 2020. As a result of the low capex and prudent financial management in the company, the mark-to-market value of cash and cash equivalents has risen to 230 crores on 31st March 2020. This is the highest level in the company's history. In each quarter through the years and through the year, financial year 19-20, the liquidity balance continued to grow. Even after the COVID impact from mid-March 2020, there was no depletion or need to dip into these funds. In April 2020, during the lockdown, collections were sufficient to meet expenses and there was no need to use any portion of these funds. Inventory strategy. We monitor the inventory very closely and in a few cases have opted for just-in-time vendor arrangements. And at most geographies have localized warehousing, allowing us to keep ready availability of products at local markets. Just-in-time inventory management and similar offer to project customers. We encourage our project-linked customers to allow us to work with them to schedule smaller dispatches of products as and when their sites need them, rather than try to save costs on logistics via large deliveries, which take time to fit out and start the billing cycle earlier than required. This is a step towards faster and smaller billing cycles and receivable management as well. A quick word on our cost lines, raw material. Many of our raw materials are trending downwards in pricing. Savings have been made during financial year 19-20. Prices of clay are 5% lower than before. Prices of zinc are 5% lower than before. Zirconium pricing is 5% lower than before. Brass is 2% lower in Q4 and 10% lower in FY19-20. Vendor negotiations. We are in negotiations with vendors to assess scope for reduction in costs. So based on changing market dynamics, newer pricing and quality parameters are being built into contracts with vendors. Fixed costs. Rents for warehouses, offices and company-owned customer touchpoints have been negotiated and fresh contracts are being signed during financial year 2021. For Q4 FY20, revenue for the quarter stood at 293 crores versus 413 crores in Q4 financial year 19, registering a 29% YOY decline. For Q4, 49% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 27% from faucetware, tiles represented 21% and wellness 3%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered a decline of 30.7%, faucetware revenues declined 23.1%, tiles declined by 31% and wellness declined by 39%. EBITDA excluding other income for Q4 financial year 20 was 42.40 crores versus 63.79 crores in Q4 FY19. The EBITDA margin for Q4 FY20 stood at 14.5, lower by 90 basis points. Profit after tax for Q4 FY20 was 38.47 crores against a YOY number of 38.04 crores. PAT margin was higher by 113 basis points. EPS for Q4 was 29.58 versus 29.25 in financial year 18-19. For financial year 19-20, revenue was 1209 crores versus 1344 crores, a decline of 10%. Sanitaryware revenues were 49%, faucetware 26%, tiles 22% and wellness 3%. On a 12-month comparison, sanitaryware revenues registered a decline of 16.8%, faucetware declined by 2.5%, tiles declined by 3.1% and wellness by 2.7%. EBITDA excluding other income for financial year 19-20 was 162.12 crores against 190.6 crores in FY18-19, a decline of 14.9%. EBITDA margins for financial year 19-20 is 13.4% against 14.2% in financial year 18-19, lower by 80 basis points. Profit after tax for FY19-20 was rupees 115.94 crores against rupees 115.05 crores in financial year 18-19. PAT margin was higher by 100 basis points. EPS for FY19-20 was rupees 89.15 against 88.46 in financial year 18-19. Inventory days in Q4 FY20 was 62.01 days compared to 48.84 days in Q4 FY19. Receivable days in Q4 FY20 was 56.78 days versus 68.57 days in Q4 FY19. Payable days in Q4 were 44.36 days against 38 days in Q4 of FY19. Therefore, net working capital days in Q4 FY20 was 74.43 days versus 79.41 days in Q4 FY19. We have launched 8 new SKUs in Q4 of FY19-20 and 765 new SKUs in financial year 19-20. Such FIP products and antibacterial glazing. We have a total of 6 touch-free faucets. We have developed a unique antibacterial glazing process called nano glazing, which provides stain-resistant, water-repellent surfaces. We have enhanced our customer touchpoints with 44 additional touchpoints in Q4. As the numbers indicate, we have built a resilient model where a large proportion of our costs are variable. The EBITDA margin and profitability have held up even in times of subdued demand. Sanitaryware and faucetware businesses remain the core focus area for us, and we are confident of the prospects on a sustained basis. The tile segment is growing according to business plan with close to zero inventory days. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one. We have a first question from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Congrats on the decent quarter amid these challenging times. I have two questions. Sir, how the quarter would have been looked in the absence of COVID-19? I know last March was very strong for us, but still some color on that.
Okay, you see, the March month is very important for the company because the trade partners rush to meet their monthly, quarterly, and annual incentives.
Right.
So the last 15 days of the month which were lost in sales is the reason there's a 10% decline in sales. Otherwise, we would have been very close to or not, if not equal to, last year's numbers. Mm-hmm. And these are products which have much higher margin than the overall annual average. So
okay,
that's the only difference. On the flip side, of course, our receivable days also decreased and receivable amount is also decreased. So total debtors, instead of 297 crores, were 220 crores, a decline of 77 crores.
Okay. Uh-huh. So, secondly, how the demand from April onward, and is there any pricing pressure, particularly on the low and mid price products?
See, April was a month that was completely lost.
Okay.
And there were a lot of goods which were stuck in interstate borders, etc. at the end of March. So all that got released in early parts of May. On 5th May, we restarted the factory. So by the time that goods reached our localized depots and warehouses and even dealers, it was almost 10th, 15th May. So sales have just started trickling in May. Dealers have started opening up in non-containment, non-red zones. So we'll see the impact more in the month of end May and June. And then we'll be able to make a realistic assessment of how Q2 and Q3 of this current financial year will pan out. But rather than make any guesstimate about those numbers, we'll wait for things to develop. As far as pricing pressure is concerned, In any case, 70% of the new product launches are in affordable housing. And we have bulk of our products addressing that segment. This is not to say they are only cheap products, because affordable housing projects which like to advertise the kind of products they are using try to use Cera as one of the unique selling points in their projects. So they are also customers for high-end products. And finally, pricing. You see, As a company, we have negotiated pricing for our project customers, which is now 22-23% of our sales. But for our dealership customers, it's a fixed price. And dealers are free to sacrifice some of their margins with their customers, which is something that they do sometimes they don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sir, question, if I can squeeze in, last time you said the price hike will be taken from the 1st of April. I'm sure now even that will get postponed. So when should we expect price hike for this year, FY21?
The last price hike we took was between 3-5% across all products in May 19.
Okay.
And the next price hike was scheduled from 1st April 20, which has now been postponed to August 20 of between 3-5% across all products. Now,
yeah, but
you have to see this price hike in relation to the declining RM environment, the declining gas costs.
Okay.
So I'll give you a flavor on, see, as I mentioned, clay has declined by 5%, zinc, zirconium by 5%, brass by 10% during the year. And I'll give you some flavor on the gas costs. For the year average, we paid 22.58 rupees per cubic meter.
Mm-hmm.
And our GAIL rate was 14.58. Our Sabarmati rate was 34.15. In June, the rate has further declined. GAIL is 11.75 and Sabarmati has increased to 36.37. But the overall sentiment of gas consumers has been subdued. So our mix, which was normally 50-50, in Q4 we consumed 63% from GAIL and 37% from Sabarmati. And for the year, we consumed 59% from GAIL and 41% from Sabarmati.
Sure, sir. So you spoke about, you know, the maybe the increase in price hike by August. But let's say hypothetically, if the demand doesn't pick up, will you go ahead with this price hike, or will you further postpone it to, let's say, Q3?
See, it's an evolving situation. If raw material prices decline by another 10%, then that mm-hmm. would be as good as a price hike for us.
Correct. Yeah. That was my question. Like, you know, we are already saving in terms of raw materials. So, and considering the current scenario wherein demand looks muted, so we may postpone further, is what my understanding was. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir.
It's an evolving situation. We'll only know once Q2 pans out. You know, we are still two and a half months away from August. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Apologies, I joined the call a bit late, so missed your initial comments. So, but my question is on the resumption activity. I mean, in terms of demand, I understand that April was negligible, but how are the demand trends in May and June versus sales of last year? And also, what is the current capacity utilization that we are working at, and also the channel inventory? The status of that. I mean, have we managed to liquidate them, or they are yet to be liquidated?
See, when we resumed our factory on 5th May, we started with one shift operations because we didn't have a migrant labor problem. So we were just assessing the demand environment and the inventory at the localized depot and warehousing level. Now, other than the tier one metros where the demand is still not back to where we would like it to be, markets in tier 3 towns are getting back. So the bulk of the liquidation of inventory at the depots is currently taking place, and there was a lot of goods in transit when the lockdown happened. All that has reached its final destination, and that will be liquidated. So we are still operating on one shift in the factory currently. And as and when there's a demand uptick, we'll take that up.
Understand. So if we look at June, I mean, June sales very approximately were how much percentage of our June 19 sales?
That number is not currently out yet.
Understand. So, and currently the utilization of your capacities on an average would be?
One shift only. So I can give you the Q4 capacity utilization numbers if that interests you. I have that number with me. For Q4 FY20, faucet ware was utilized at 72%, sanitary ware was utilized at 73%, and for the 12 months, faucet ware was at 70% and sanitary ware was at 86%.
Okay. So my second question is on the pricing action over the past 2-3 months. With the COVID disruption coming in, have you seen any rationalization of competition from the unorganized smaller players, especially in your tiles division? And secondly, has there been any pricing action to push demand?
See, the unorganized business in tiles, we'll talk about first, then about sanitary ware and faucet ware. As far as tiles is concerned, we keep on hearing about 800 and or 900 plants in Morbi. But when we go for project or retail orders, we are competing with the top 10-12 brands, because most of these 800-900 plants are becoming vendors to these top 10-12 brands. So the unorganized segment neither has the marketing infrastructure nor the capability of selling, marketing, localized warehousing, and supplying credit to their customers, which the top 10-12 brands have, which is why, despite whatever is happening in the tiles business in terms of overcapacity, Cera's tiles business has performed. We are close to zero inventory days, and we find ourselves competing with only the top players. Now, in this environment where our vendors are reducing prices that they charge us, and the prices we charge our customers are more or less stable with a slight downward trend maybe, the market is going to shift. only 60% of the Morbi capacity has come back on stream over the last 2.5 months. So you will see a huge shakeout in the excess capacity of the vendor base. And we do not find ourselves competing with them. So our vendors do not reach our customers. Now similarly in sanitaryware, our products have a 10-year warranty. We have a huge sales team, after sales team. We have a servicing team, we have a spare parts team. We have a 24-hour call center, then customer touch points where a consumer can walk in and get register complaints or after sales service requests. He has an app through which a consumer can reach the company, and in most cases between 24 to 48 hours is the lead time between someone reaching their home. So those are the benefits for a product which has a lifespan of 20 years and maybe a price difference of 500 to 1500. So again, in sanitaryware, you'll find that unorganized players have restricted them to maybe projects of Swachh Bharat, etc., but do not compete with the same consumers with a company like Cera.
Okay. So, and have you encountered any plants being shut down in Morbi over the past 2-3 months, since you mentioned only 60% of capacity of the 800-900 plants is back?
Yes, in any case, Morbi over the last one and a half years had significant cash flow problems. And bulk of those plants, because of lack of scale or lack of product differentiation, were not profitable. Add to that, the migrant labor problem in Morbi is the reason less than 60% of the capacity has come back on stream, and that too not at 75%. So even the capacity which has come back on stream is maybe one shift.
Okay. Sir, my last question is regarding the construction or real estate activity. We understand that, you know, it is not looking at a very good pace in the urban or tier 1 cities, but what about the tier 2, tier 3 cities? Are you seeing any heightened activity over there, and in which, I mean, affordable or, you know, own construction?
We are seeing activity where there are large national EPC contractors involved. So wherever there is a Shapurji or L&T or those kind of contractors involved, we are seeing resumption of activity. And we are also seeing some activity in small projects, these G+3, G+4 projects, in any case, are very quick to start and finish. So we are seeing resumption of activity there.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Achal Lohare from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First, I wanted to know, you know, in terms of the gross...
Sir, I'm sorry, we're not able to hear you well. Please speak a little close to the mic.
Is it better now?
Much better. Please go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to check first in terms of the gross margin improvement. How do we explain that? What has driven the gross margin improvement, especially when the price increase hasn't really been that significant?
Yeah, two specific items stand out. Let's say publicity, we stopped our mass communication activities in the middle of the year, sensing that the year was slowing down. And then, of course, the pandemic was fully in place in March. So there was about a 10 crore saving in publicity costs. Then there was a sales and marketing expenses which were clamped down, and the trade partners also did not get themselves entitled to their full quarterly, monthly and annual targets. So there was a saving of 18 crores there. Freight and forwarding and logistics, there was a lot of saving on that because we did a lot of AI-based freight saving costs. That was 6 crores. And finally, at the EBITDA level, the Ind AS 116 adjustment resulted in a 7 crore benefit.
And this is for the fourth quarter you're talking about?
For the full year.
And for the fourth quarter, if you could?
For the same numbers, publicity, the difference in fourth quarter is about 7 crores. In sales and marketing is about 8 crores. In freight is about 4.5 crores. and Ind AS adjustment is about 1.6 crores.
Right. And what about the gross margin improvement, 280 bps improvement YOY? Is it due to like the inventory valuation or is it to do with the product mix or any price action?
You see, we started austerity measures in the middle of Q2 last year, and the full benefits of that were available in Q3 and Q4. So on every front, on fixed and variable costs, we gained. Then the raw material prices were trending downwards across the board, and we took advantage of that. Now, these are raw material suppliers who have been with the company for more than 20 years. So they are quite happy to negotiate contracts with us on an ongoing basis.
And with respect to the distribution mix, would you be able to give some sense about how, what is the concentration we have in terms of the top 20 cities, how much do they contribute to our total revenue?
I think the line is not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to check the contribution of the top 20 cities for us. Or if any breakup in terms of metro, tier 1, tier 2 kind of?
Yes, yes, of course. So I'll give you for Q4 and also for the 12 months. Exports and exports for the quarter and for the year were about 1.2% of top line. Tier 1 sales were 31% of top line. Tier 2 sales were 12% of top line. And tier 3 and below sales were 55% of top line. Then sales to top 100 dealers were 36% of top line. And sales to top 500 dealers were 66% of top line. Then if you want geographic spread, I have that as well. North was 30% of top line. East was 10%, West was 17%, and South was 42%. And export was one.
Sorry, could you please repeat once again? I couldn't hear it properly. North is 30%.
North is 30%, East is 10%, West is 17%, and South is 42%, and export is 1%.
And this is for the full year you're talking about?
Yes.
And even the tier 1, tier 2 things as well, full year, right?
Yes.
Okay, sounds great. Projects are like 22, 23.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. We can't hear you very well.
Is it better now? Sorry
no.
for the bad line.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of the projects, you had said 22-23% of revenues are from projects. That's directly for us or this includes the dealer sales?
So that is direct billing. So we only count project sales where we are comfortable in direct billing.
So at an aggregate level, I mean, I know it's tough to guess how much dealer would be selling to project, but broadly, would it be like 50-50 in terms of projects and retail, or could it be even higher for projects?
See, we are extremely in a beneficial position if dealers sell to projects, because we don't have to take a credit call, nor do we have to negotiate prices. So if a dealer can find his inroad into project, that's the best case scenario for us, because we haven't sacrificed margins, nor do we have to have a direct credit assessment of the customer.
Got it. This is helpful. Just last question, if I may, with respect to commercial versus residential, would you have any sense as to how much would be the mix for us in terms of the commercial specifically, which is probably looking a little weak now going forward?
Commercial is negligible. It always has been negligible.
Got it.
Because
great.
The amount of toilet material required on a per square feet basis in commercial IT parks, etc., is very, very small.
Got it. Got it. This is very helpful. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Manish Poddar from Nippon AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Had two questions. So first is, would you be able to help, let's say, how was the sales performance, let's say, in Jan, even March, on a YOY basis?
In January?
Yeah, Jan, Feb, and March.
See, Jan and Feb were the good performing months, right? From Q3, sales were picking up, and more in the semi-urban and tier 3 towns. And right till the 10th of March, sales were all right. But then post 10th of March, it completely collapsed. And we end up billing almost 2 months worth of annual billing, average annual billing, in the last 10 days of March. And that's a phenomena that you can see from the last many years.
Okay. So effectively what you're trying to say, in the last 10 days of the month in March, 2 months of billing happens. So roughly,
yes,
about 200-250 crores of sales happen in the last
between 125 to 150 crores.
125 to 150 crores.
Right.
Okay, and would you be able to, you mentioned, you know, 3-4 variables which led to savings during the full year last year. So in that you mentioned, you know, I missed one of the variables. From marketing was 10 crores, trade payout was 18 crores, India ISO 7 crores, and what was the fourth variable?
Freight forwarding expenses, 6 crores.
How much was that?
6 crores.
So roughly about 40-41 crores savings you had in that.
Right.
So, Ayush, any idea now, let's say, you know, after you've commenced the plant or, you know, this kind of saving measures which you're doing, so what is the quarterly run rate one should expect? You know, you've been running at that 110 crores run rate, plus minus 10 crores, in the last 8 or 10 quarters. So what should be the run rate going ahead?
See, for top line, the run rate for Q1 will be very small.
I'm talking about the expenses.
We have renegotiated a lot of contracts, whether it's company-owned customer touch points, experience centers. Then we have tried to implement co-location for our depots. So if depots were within 100 kilometers of each other, we've tried to implement co-location. We've reduced the space of our warehouses in most locations. So there'll be a lot of fixed cost reduction as well. And variable cost, raw material pricing is undergoing a sea change right now. So those are, of course, an ongoing discussion and evolving situation.
So putting a finger on that. Sorry, please.
Yeah, we won't be able to put an estimate on that for the current financial year.
Okay. And just one final one from my side. Would you be able to share, let's say, for the full year, how is the contribution from the, you know, the four segments? And the growth which you got for that, for the full year. That's it from my side.
Yes. For the full year, revenue was 1209 crores versus 1344 crores. Sanitaryware revenues were 49%, faucetware 26%, tiles 22%, and wellness 3%.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Reminder to participants, to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone now. We have next question from the line of Hiral Desai from Anivet PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ayush. A couple of questions. One was, you know, with respect to working capital that you also alluded in your opening remarks. If I look at the receivables at about 220 crores, the number is similar to what we had in FY17. So when you're so tight on working capital, does that stifle your sales? And, you know, how do you take a call between being tight on working capital and foregoing sales?
You see,
especially in an environment where demand is, you know, extremely challenging.
See, those who have followed this company for last 5-7 years would find a consistent financial conservatism, because we have learned from the horror stories that we hear in our industry about credit calls that went wrong.
Right.
So So, you know, when you're operating on 14% EBITDA margin and whatever 9-10% PAT margin, at that time to take large credit calls is an extremely risky decision, and people have done it and nobody has succeeded. But even then, a lot of people in our peer group continue to do it, but we have never done it. So that's why you'll see our delinquencies figure being extremely low and our working capital figures being very tight. Now, if there is an argument to be made that by loosening your credit terms, you will gain significantly in cost, in revenues, that is something I'm not really seeing the evidence of in this business.
No, I don't mean that, you know.
Pricing, design, those things play a larger role than only credit.
No, sir, I don't mean that, you know, by loosening the credit norms, you're going to have a massive gain in terms of revenues. But just at the margin, especially when the environment is very tight. So, you know, for last couple of years, the dealership and the retail channel also itself has been under a lot of pressure. So whether it makes sense to be slightly loose in terms of working capital and see if it drives, you know, incremental sales and market share.
You see, if a AAA-rated customer comes to us and asks for better credit terms, obviously we will agree. But
Right.
just doing that for the trade, and the trade also taking additional risk in poor credit quality customers, that is something we want to be careful of.
Got
If
it, got it.
someone, a project customer has been with us for 10, 15 years, and there are customers who have been with us for 40 years, if they ask for differential terms, obviously we'll agree.
Okay. And the other question I had was, do you guys internally track secondary sales, you know, in terms of sales from dealer to retailer and from retailer to the final consumer? The reason why, you know, I was asking this is, usually March is a big month for a lot of these businesses, and there will be fair amount of inventory which would have got stuck in the system, given that, you know, April, May was almost a washout. So outside of the inventory that we have, how much of inventory would there be in the system? Well, that will affect, you know, the growth that we have in H1.
See, at the trade level, as you've been hearing our commentary last 6 quarters, we've been saying that at the trade level there is financial mismanagement. And at the
Yes.
trade level, a lot of costs have been piled on by people taking showrooms on rent, hiring three-wheelers, four-wheelers, hiring a lot of sales force, and also taking credit calls, expanding into unrelated businesses. So
Right.
that those problems have now come to a head. I think the trade will realize they should stick to their knitting, stick to the customers they have done businesses with in the past, etc. So yes, I'm sure in many cases the trade has taken cement dealership, pipe dealership, plywood dealership, which has not worked out for them, and therefore they are stuck. So we are very conscious of who we do business with, taking in new dealers, etc. But yes, you are correct that all this, there will be a massive shakeout in the trade.
So my question was, there is about 200 crores of inventory that we have. So apart from that, in the channel, what would be the amount of inventory? If, you know, you have any sense on that number.
For the company, we have a sense of the number, but for the industry, we don't have a sense of that number.
No, so what would be the total number, including the channel inventory for Cera?
The debtors are 220 crores.
No. So we have about 204 crores of inventory that we have on our balance sheet. Outside of that, there will be some inventory which is with the dealers and retailers. So what would be the quantum of that?
That is captured in the receivable of 220 crores.
Okay,
And
okay, okay.
some part of that is sold, some is unsold. See,
Okay, got it.
one of the things we are encouraging both our dealers and project customers, please do not try and save money by ordering 400 pieces which fill a full truck because of just saving in the freight.
Right.
We want to give you shorter billing cycles and smaller cycles of smaller amounts. So please take that as an offer from us. Whatever differential extra cost in freight, etc., is taking place, we'll find a way of offsetting that.
Got it, got it. And lastly, the mix that you gave in terms of, you know, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 for this year, would you have a similar number for last year, for FY19?
Yes, I think I would have that number. For 12 months FY19, that number was export 1%, tier 1 28.8%, tier 2 12.98, which is 13%, and tier 3 would be 57%.
Tier 3 is 57%. Perfect, Ayush. Thanks a ton. This is very useful.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Omkar Kulkarni from Shree Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question was regarding any cost-cutting measures you have taken apart from the savings which you are getting from the lower raw material prices.
Yes, we have... The first thing is we have done co-location of our depots and warehouses. So suppose in UP there were more than two warehouses, we are trying to combine them into one of the NCR warehouses. So those are the fixed cost reduction. Within the warehouses, if we had taken 15,000 square feet, we are trying to manage with 9,000 square feet. That's the second saving. Similarly, for all our offices, regional offices and large format, 10 company-owned experience centers, of which some of them are owned, some are rented, we're trying to renegotiate the rent. Then at the factory, we are trying to implement, of course, there are wage agreements which are 3 and 4 year long. We're trying to implement additional incentives on a completely variable basis. So fixed cost reduction is going to be an ongoing exercise for at least for the 12 to 18 month period that you're seeing going forward. And in any case, total fixed cost even last year was less than 20% of our overall cost. So this company is built on a high variable cost model, which is why we keep talking about that outsourcing percentage. You know, 50% of our total product sold is outsourced. And, you know, no company has succeeded with full outsourcing or full in-house manufacturing. We seem to have found a good balance currently.
Okay. All the things which you have mentioned, do you have any number for that?
Those bulk of those savings will be for this financial year. So in the Q1 call, we'll be able to give you a better estimate.
Okay, all right. The second question is, I guess you mentioned you have now around 230 crores of cash in your hand, which is the highest. So how do you plan to utilize it apart from the CapEx?
See, I'll give you a sense of this year's CapEx and also last year's CapEx. Last year, 19-20, the proposed CapEx was 56 crores and the split was sanitaryware automation 20 crores, faucetware automation 9 crores, customer touchpoint 6 crores, staff colony completion 17 crores, logistics and IT 4 crores. And at the end of the year, I can tell you that out of this 56 crores, only 41.83 crores was finally spent. And that breakup is also available. 9.53 crores was spent in sanitaryware automation. 3.6 crores was spent in faucetware automation. 6.9 crores was spent in customer touchpoints. 15.5 crores was spent at the staff colony at the plant. And 6.23 crores was spent in logistics and IT. Totally 41.83 crores. Now for 2021, we propose a total of 21.82 crores as the overall capex budget. And the split is sanitaryware automation 5.85 crores, faucetware automation 4.41 crores, customer touchpoint 6.15 crores, staff colony at Kadi. Now we have bought one adjacent land next to our plant for 3.19 crores and logistics and IT 2.2 crores. So this is half the budget of last year, which is the proposed budget for 2021.
Okay, that's about CapEx. I was asking more about how do you plan to utilize this apart from the CapEx which you are doing? I mean, you plan to hold it in terms of investments or like something else you have planned?
See, currently this number has been growing, and currently even though the yields are low and it overall depresses our ROC,
We have invested in government bonds, tax-free bonds, AAA instruments, etc., and fixed deposits with SBI, etc. Currently, there are no acquisition plans or any large capex plans. So currently, we have found our investors telling us that your strategy of high liquidity has been validated given these troubling times. But we have never had to dip into this liquidity reserve even during April and May, and certainly not during March. So we continue to hold.
Okay, just one last question on the ground situation. What's the dealers network telling you, or the retailers telling you, especially in the month of June, how is the demand situation?
It's an emerging situation. As markets are opening up, as project sites are opening up, demand is trickling in, but definitely much lower than what we expected. And demand, we are also being a little cautious in supplying to people, to projects and to dealers. So it's both ways.
I just wanted to get to understand whether people are holding cash or they are not willing to spend on such a discretionary item such as sanitary wear or wellness products.
We get to know the insight on consumer behavior not for end of Q2.
All right.
So, currently, okay, we can only gauge the trade behavior. We don't get any insight into the consumer behavior.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. So we have next question from the line of Rajat Setia from Riddhi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I wanted to understand from the perspective that, you know, in the last 5-10 years, we have generated very good return on capital and return on equity. However, now our mix is changing in terms of. So my question is, how will we sustain similar kind of return on capital, return on equity going in the next 5 to 10 years? And the concerns that I have there is, like I mentioned, Tiles, which has probably inferior economics. And second is, in sanitary wear, our market share has been stagnant in the last 7 years. So how do we, grow and increase our margins there?
See, ROC, again, there are two figures. One is with cash of 230 crores, one is without cash of 230 crores. If you look at the ROC for even this year, 19-20, with the kind of sales we lost in March, without cash is 25.48, because our cash reserves are generating 6-6.5%. I'm bringing down the overall ROC and ROE. As far as the business performance is concerned, of course, there have been earlier, the company 6-7 years ago had maybe 100 SKUs. Today, the company has so many SKUs, introduces 700 SKUs annually. And sanitary wear pricing, faucet wear pricing for brands like ours are still very important. Tiles is a little more commoditized than sanitary wear and faucet wear, but we are lucky we don't have heavy assets on our books of tiles plants, etc. Our cost of purchase of tiles from third-party vendors is much lower than the cost of production of the largest tile company in the country. So going forward on a zero inventory basis for tiles and better purchase costs, even tiles businesses will start showing healthy EBITDAs.
So in tile segment, you expect to clock similar return on capital?
Yeah, return on capital, even with a lower EBITDA percentage in tiles, will be very good because of zero inventory. So even though there's extended credit in tiles compared to receivable days in sanitary wear and faucet wear, we expect return on capital in tiles to improve dramatically.
Sure. And sir, other question was on, you mentioned that you also sell around 20% plus kind of sales comes from your direct sales to institutions. Is that what you mentioned? Correct. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can give you the latest numbers. For Q4 1920, project sales were 30% and retails was 70, and for the full year project was 28 and retail was 72.
So in this project sales of 28 do we bill directly to the
project? That's right.
So does it not create any sort of conflict with the dealers?
No. These are, of course, large companies, large national developers who will not be speaking to any dealer for any product, whether it's lift, cement, pipes, plywood.
Okay. Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I'd now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I know these are unprecedented times. Most people are working from home. And so I really want to thank you all for joining this call. CERA is optimistic that its strong positioning in the industry and improving macros will help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. With this, I hope that I have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. Should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join the call, and see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of CERA Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.